lobby. You might have seen me in the lobby. Hopefully, you're time to meet. As I stand on the stage, I express to you my rage about a topic more complex than bacteriophage. Please take a second and listen to me. And as I dive into the meat, I will not be discreet. Because when Jesus was beat with holes in his hands and nails in his feet, Jesus says, you use your beautiful feet to go and do something that will be. You see, God loves us so much. He let his son out of his clutch. He cared for you in such a way that Jesus. And I know it's difficult to fathom this love as deep as a chasm. And as I release all these words like an erratical spasm, God hears all of our prayers, and in a file, he has them. A record to show he cares about you. Now in an act of love, God sends his son from above, sinless, pure as a dove. He becomes flesh like you and me. 33 years later, Jesus prepares in the Garden of Gethsemane. He cries out loud, oh so desperately, asking God for another way. God, there must be another way. This is his final plea. All knowing it must be done inevitably in order to save eternally you and me. Now betrayed with a kiss, his best friend Judas sends Jesus to the cross for the reason he exists, to die. And then rise from abyss. In 3 days he does this, gives the greatest gift to me. And as I recite this poem about something that to you might sound unknown, as you sit in your seat with your thoughts all alone, I beg you to think of God on his throne, who created individually, especially unique, you and me. Now this God up in heaven is large and in charge. Taking one single breath, he can breathe out a star. And his majestic power may seem so bizarre, but the fact of the matter is when Jesus was scarred, we have become free now. We are unbarred. And I tell you that tonight, the greatest part is that this gift is free in our crappy economy for high school students like you and like me. Me, you, us, Jesus.
To save someone like you and like me. Tonight, I know we have a lot of fun at the gathering, but tonight I want to plead with you guys. You see, as I prepare for this message, I thought, God, what do I tell them? And I have resolved that the very thing I'm going to tell you is the most important thing I will ever tell you. I'm going to talk to you guys tonight as if it's the last time I will ever talk. As if it's the last time I will ever give a message. I'm going to give you my whole heart, and I expect you, and I beg you to listen. See, I'm just pleading from one dying man to another. The newspaper says one out of one die, and I believe it. We all die, and I care for your souls. I don't want you to go to hell. So this is why I'm going to give you this message today. If you guys have your Bibles, just open them. We're going to have the scripture on the board. If you didn't bring it, that is fine. But I want you to open to Mark chapter 1. I'll give you some time. The verse will be on the PowerPoint. Mark 1, verse 15. And it says this. It says, and saying, the time's fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. This version says, the time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. Tonight, I want to share it to you about the good news. I want to share it to you about the gospel. Now, this relates to each and every one of us, because you're either not saved or you are saved. And when I say saved, you've taken Jesus as your Savior. You do understand that he's the only way, and I will put it in depth later. But let me talk to those who don't know who I'm talking about, to those who have never heard about Christ or have heard but don't have that relationship. I am talking to you tonight because I am pleading with you. This is the only way to live. The only way to live an abundant life on earth is to take this, the gospel, the good news. And to the saved, so many of us, we know this, that this is the foundation of our faith, but we don't know how to share it. And I really believe that we're real honest with each other. We have to be reminded of the gospel ourselves. So that's why I'm speaking to all, everybody in this room. I expect all of you guys to take something out of this. You see, I want to share with you the gospel, and I thought, what is the first thing that we need to know in order to recognize the gospel, in order to find the need of why do we need this good news? And it's that we're all messed up, that we're all sinners, we're all terrible. You guys are like, yeah, whatever, you know, sinners. But we need to recognize that we're sinners. You see, because we will never fully appreciate the good news, the gospel, and we'll never cling to it until we are sickened with our sinfulness, until we are sickened with the ugliness of who we are. Now, some of you might have a problem with that because we're brought up in society, I'm great, I'm this, I'm that, I'm the best thing that ever walked this earth, right? But I'm going to share with you that we're all sinful. We are all wicked. And that is a truth that we need to recognize. Now, a lot of us point fingers at other people. Those guys are sinners. You turn on Fox 10, any Fox 10 fans. I always know it's just my family that really watches Fox 10. You know, everybody else watches Channel 3 or 12. Fox 10, I don't know why, we just like it. You watch Fox 10, and at nighttime is when all the depressing stuff happens, right? The morning, it's great. Good morning, America, or Arizona. You know, you guys are going to do awesome today. But the nighttime is depressing. I hate watching the night news. But it tells you about these murderers and these people who rape little kids, and you guys say, that's a sinner. I bet you bottom dollar that that is a sinner. But we need to look at our own selves. I'm going to give you just a list of some of our sins that we can relate to in this room. Anger. Adultery. Pornography. Hatred. Lying. Who hasn't lied? Self-indulgence. Greed. Deceitfulness. Stealing. Cussing. Cursing. Hurting people. Coveting after that nice Mustang in the parking lot. Where's Dan? Murdering. We all fall into this category somehow in some way. We need to know that we are wicked. And we need to know that because we are wicked, we don't give anything to God. You see, God is so great in His glory that that He doesn't need anything from us. Our worth and value doesn't make God greater. Some of you guys have a problem with that. What are you talking about? I thought God loved me. Yes, He does. That is why He cares for you. That He cares for you. Not because He needs you. He just loves you out of no reason, really. I don't understand why God loves me, but He does. And I want to share with you guys tonight that God is love. I want you guys to open your Bibles, and it'll be on the screen once again, to Romans 3. Now, a lot of you guys probably knew where I was going with this. Romans 3:23. If you haven't memorized, just go ahead and say it with me right now. For all have sinned and fallen short to the glory of God. Now, a lot of us know this verse. A lot of us have been reminded of it. We know it, right? Well, I believe that a lot of us say, yes, I know it. You see, there's God. Here's me. I'm great, but I just fall short. You know, God's a little bit big, better than me. And I want to share with you guys tonight, that is not it at all. God is, His glory is amazing. I'm praying tonight that God will show up, that you will just get a glimpse of His glory. And when you recognize that, you will fully realize that we are not just falling short. We are just desperately so far away from God because He is so holy and we are so wicked. See, I believe that God doesn't show up much in this culture because we don't really ask Him for it. We don't ask for God's glory to show up. So a lot of you guys don't know that you're a sinner. A lot of you guys are just like living in your wickedness and wondering why everything's going wrong, but what else are you going to do, right? It's life. Well, there's a better life. You see, a lot of teenagers are in this room, a lot of young people. Raise your hand. Yeah, youngins. Old people, I'm glad you're here too. So youngins, do you guys stay up late and get up late? Yeah? Okay, I'm a weirdo, or just stay up late and get up early. Any of you guys do that? I need my full hours of sleep. I'm a nerd. I go to bed early, and I get up on time. There's no early about it. I have to get my full night's sleep. So this past week, man, telling you, I went to bed early. It was awesome. I was pumped. It's kind of weird. Yes, I'm going to bed, you know, early. But I was pumped. I was excited. I need my sleep. So I go to bed, and I wake up, early. I'm like, oh, my, what's wrong with me? I checked if I had a fever. And I was like, man, that was a joke. So I was like, man, why am I up so early? So I was like, you know what, God? Because I love you. Because I love you so much. I'm going to talk to you for a while. So I started talking. Thanks, God. You know, thanks for my room. Thanks for stuff. You know, and I was just praying to God. And I think either I fell asleep again or I just got so caught up in my prayer that I woke up late. That makes sense. I got out of bed late. I know this because I was just about, you know, the light was still off. I hate when the lights turn on right when I wake up. My mom goes, I hear her steps. Sorry, Mom. You do step loud. And I'm like, what? What's the time? And I search for the time. All of a sudden, I hear the light go, psh, get up, Trey. You're going to be late. Walks right out. And so I'm like, oh, the light. And I look down, and all of a sudden, I see this big spider, about this big. I'm not even kidding you. Oh, you know, started punching my stomach. I still have bruises. I was freaking out. I was jumping around. I looked like, you know, Larry Fitzgerald. You know, I was popping everywhere, man. I was so terrified. I was like, this spider. You know, a lot of us, okay, I'm not a wimp. Spiders are just weird, all right? You know, and then I thought, I wonder if they had babies and went in my mouth. Because I know they said that it goes in your mouth like 8 times a year or 8 times a life. I don't know, but I didn't eat the rest of the day. I was just disgusted. Anyways, why did I tell you that story? Why did I tell you how embarrassing it was? Because you know what? I thought I was great until the light turned on. I thought everything was amazing until I turned on the light and I noticed what was on me. That's what happens to us. We need the light to be turned on. When God's glory comes, it will shine in your life, and you will recognize, you will see the wickedness in you. And that is what I'm praying for tonight. You see, we are all sinners. We always do wrong. Did you know that in the book of Isaiah, it says that our most righteous act, helping, give me a righteous act, you know, old lady across the street, I love you, you know, walking across the street, you're welcome. You know, and then you walk off, and you're like, I did a good deed. I'm going to heaven now. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I guess that's how I am, and I get all pumped. I'm like, yeah. Our most righteous act is like filthy rags. And you're like, oh, yeah, filthy rags. Yippee, that's not even that gross. You ever seen a person with just major leprosy on their arm? Well, it's like pussy and nasty. You take a rag, and you wipe it all off. This rag, that's a filthy rag in Greek. You know, that's a filthy rag. So this is what it is. That's how we are when we help the old lady across the street, you know. That's how we compare to God. We are so desperately wicked. You see, that is why I believe that us as Christians, we know we're sinners. We're screw-ups. We know that we've messed up. You see, I believe that if you haven't been brought to a crisis, when you haven't recognized that you're terrible, your Christianity is way too clean. If you are a Christian and a true Christian, you will know that you are wicked. That's not a good word. You're not like, wicked, you know. I thought more people would laugh. Gosh, I had too much of my dad's humor. So, he's in the room. Oh gosh, I'm going to get up real early this week. So, again, I will remind you, Mark 1:15, repent and believe the good news. Repent and believe the good news. But some of you aren't convinced yet. Some of you guys out there are the most amazing thing that's ever walked this earth. I still can't get you to think you're a sinner. I'm going to keep trying. Gosh, Dad, why have you cursed me with this humor? So anyways, you guys still think you're good enough. Well, I bet you're judging yourself according to your neighbor. According to somebody, according to Stacy, you look great, right? Sorry, I didn't mean to throw you in. Gosh, I got my youth pastor and my dad going to kill me after the sermon. But anyway, I told you it's the last message I'll speak, so I guess I was right. I didn't plan that, by the way. That was great. Anyways, if you told a man, because we are so depraved, we are so wicked, that if I were to, hypothetically speaking, I'm not saying that this is true, but if I were to go up to somebody and tell them, all right, give me a name. A guy. John. All right, John. I'm going to give you something, and it will enlighten your life. Hey, John, you have a 0.01% chance of going to heaven by good works. But you have 100% chance of going to heaven by a gift. All you have to do is receive it. You know what John would do? Bring on the work. I'm going to try to get to heaven on my own. See, a lot of us do that, but we need to recognize that we're judging ourselves according to other people, but it's God, His holiness, who we're going to be judged with. We will always fall short. You see, that's why there's only two beliefs in this world. Religions fall under categories of two beliefs. The first belief is God. I hate using the word religion. But God's religion, we're going to use this word right now. God's religion. God's religion, that was a wreck. This is my last time speaking. God's religion is this. That God is holy. God is loving. God is awesome. And we as a people are wicked. But God is so gracious and loving that He gave us a gift freely to people who don't deserve it. That is one religion that I am so proud of being in. But here's the other religion. Here's the other belief. Again, I don't like using the word religion. But here's the other religion. All the other religions. Promotion of the human flesh. Humanism, saying, we can do it. All you have to do is believe in yourself. I'm not saying Texas really believes that. I like using the southern accent. It just feels great. My favorite accent. Anyways, man, got the Texas not liking me. Got the youth pastor not liking me. Got my dad not liking me. My mom, I'm just her too. Jeez. So anyways, they try to make themselves God over God, if I'm making any sense. They think that I'm all that in a bag of chips. All I have to do is do some nice things and I got heaven. That's my dad's humor again. So, this is what they believe, is that God owes us heaven. God owes everybody, the people who are righteous. We deserve heaven. That's all other religions. And I beg to differ. You see, there is a reporter, and he was trying to make it big time. He said, what is something that's so controversial? What is something that will put me into big time? So he goes, I'll interview the three main religions. I'll interview them, and I will make it. So he goes up to the Muslim. He interviews the Muslim person. He says, yo, Muslim. He didn't call him that. He's like, hey, dude. You know what I'm saying? You know, hey, John. He's like, if you were to die today, where would you go? Muslim's like, I would go to heaven. I would go to paradise. And so the reporter goes, okay, why? You know, writing it down, and the Muslim goes, well, I've obeyed the Quran. I have given money to the poor. I have prayed at all the times I need to pray. I am a righteous man. The reporter goes, okay, I understand that. Thank you. Goes up to the Jew, Orthodox Jew. That's the other one. Hello, sir. If you were to die today, where would you go? No. Jew goes, the Orthodox Jew. He says, well, I would go to heaven. The reporter goes, okay, why? He goes, I have followed all of God's law. I have made sure I pray when I need to. I am a righteous man. Thank you so much. That makes sense. Goes up to the Christian, the real Christian, the one who really got it going on. Goes up to the Christian and says, all right, Christian, I just interviewed two main religions. What makes yours better, you know? Bring it on. If you were to die today, where would you go, heaven or hell? He goes, well, I go to heaven. And the reporter goes, okay, why? Well, I was born in sin, and sin did my mother conceive me. I have broken every single one of God's laws. I am terrible. I'm wretched. I can't stand myself sometimes. And whoa, the reporter goes, okay, whoa. All at once, I don't understand. You said you're going to heaven. You see, all these other religions, they tell me they're going to heaven because they're a righteous man. God owes it to them. How are you going to get to heaven? You make no sense at all. And the Christian goes, I'm going to heaven by the virtue and merit of another. Jesus Christ, our Lord. That is how he's getting to heaven. By taking the payment, by taking Jesus. Do you see it? See, once you see that you're so bad, once you see that you're so wicked, that's when you start to realize the need for the gospel. You say, oh my gosh, I can't do that, man. I can't even please my parents. What am I supposed to do? This is the first step to the gospel. See, now that we know we're all messed up and you guys are all losers, let's move on. Dad's hammer again, sorry. That might have been paid to humor my sister. Now we need to know that we're only forgiven through Jesus Christ. Now, I hope you guys still have your finger in the Bible. So we're at Romans 3. And we're going to continue reading on from Romans 3, 23 to 25. Are you ready? Somebody's not ready. Wait. I'm going to wait. All right, we're ready. We'll be on the board. Hope you can read. It says, For all have sinned and fallen short to the glory of God. We've already read that. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood, through faith, to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God has passed over the sins that were previously committed. Everybody say propitiation. One more time, propitiation. Stacy, not constipation. Propitiation, Stacy. Say it with me, propitiation. I thought, okay, that wasn't my humor because nobody laughed. I had that one planned out beforehand, I'll give you that. But my sister helped me. So anyways, so propitiation. I really believe that we need to know what this word means to really understand the gospel, like what it resembles. Propitiation is an act of mercy. You see, it's a sacrifice that would enable God to show mercy to criminals. You see, I want you to be focused and listen to this. This is so very important. There's a problem that is dealt with in Scripture. You know what the problem is? That if God is just, then He can't forgive criminals. He can't forgive us. If He is holy, if He is righteous, He can't do it. You see, that's why when somebody tells me, man, Jesus is all you need, I say, friend, no, Jesus is all I have. He's the only way to God. He is that sacrifice. You see, apart from Him, and I'll explain this further about what Jesus did for us, but apart from Jesus, we would experience the wrath of God. A lot of you don't like that word. That is wrath. But you know what? If I love babies, I hate abortion. If God loves holiness, He has to hate unholiness. You guys see what I'm saying? God is love. Therefore, He has wrath. You see, because the wrath of God is against the sin in this world. Because the sin has to be dealt with. Because if He doesn't deal with it, then He's unholy. And we're not worshiping like God. We don't have any hope at all. You see, you guys think, how can God not forgive us? You see, but in the Bible, it's the exact opposite. How can we be forgiven? But now, in community today, we think, how can we not be forgiven? But let me ask you, what is a huge complaint that we have all the time is when judges are corrupt? You guys think that they're wicked if the judge freely just says, you're okay, even though all evidence was against the criminal. I'm like, okay, man. I don't know what I had. Anyways, water. Water kills you, man. Anyways, Proverbs 17:15 says that God agrees with you. It says that to justify the wicked is an abomination. Abomination isn't good. You have to know this. So, gosh, my dad's human. So, if God forgives you, then it is wrong. So that's the problem. Let me put it a little more at home with you. Let's say you walk into your house after you hang out with your friends, man. You went in and out, saw a movie, then you're going home, you open the door. Sorry, I tried to be gangster for a while, like Robbie. So open the door, come on in. Family, I'm home. Come greet me. You know, and everyone's like, this guy, you know. Nobody greeted me, so I thought, man, there has to be a problem because they greet me all the time. I'm like, family, I'm home. Anybody there? I saw the vehicle. Where art thou? That's my thing. So anyways, all of a sudden you see blood, a little blood drips. You're like in the movies. You start looking at the blood, you start tracing it, and you see your daddy. Sorry, Dad, but you're dead. You see him blood everywhere. All of a sudden you're just like, And you look to your right, and you see your mother dead. And you look at Kate, like, she's dead. What am I going to do, you know? And all of a sudden you hear the back door. You're like, to the rescue! You run over. You have all this adrenaline pumped. All of us in here are beasts, so we beat up anybody. Open the door. I'm going to get you. And you run. You're a beast. Like I said, the dog helps you get the criminal. Call the popo. Hey, police. I got you this here criminal, and I know he did it. He got blood on his hands. I think cool. Gosh, I'm going to stop being gangster. So, he gets him. Sorry, Robbie. So he gets him. And they take him to court, and you're at this court case, obviously. And what would you feel if the judge goes, I'm a loving judge. I forgive anybody. You don't got to do nothing. You're out of here scot-free.
think about what you're doing tomorrow because you're not going to be in the prison.
How would you feel? You would be so upset. You would go to the congressman. You would talk to Obama. And you would be like, Obama, this judge is more wicked than the criminal, right? Because this guy was obviously, he deserves punishment. And he must do justice. You guys see what I'm getting at. And another example, Satan, the devil. Think about him. I don't hear anybody complaining that he doesn't get a second chance. I hear everybody know, man, he deserves hell. He's terrible. He's wicked. Why would God ever forgive him? Of course. It's the same thing with us. And think about the angels. There was angels and they fell with Satan, thinking he was all that in a bag of chips. Obviously wasn't. They became demons. God didn't send them a savior. What makes us all special? See, God sent us a savior out of grace. And that's the exciting part. You see, because God loved us and wanted to give us an opportunity. Because I'm telling you, if God could have created us. God would have said, all right, I'm going to give you guys free will. And you guys, obviously, we're all going to sin. As you said, we're wicked. And think about it. If God wasn't wanting to save you, if God wasn't so loving and be like, man, I want to save this person, even though he deserves hell, the Bible would say this. It would be one page long. We would all know about it. It would say, God is just, God is holy, and God is loving. But we are wicked people, and we deserve hell. End of the book. It wouldn't be this long. You know why it's this big? Because God loves us. He keeps on giving us a chance. He keeps telling us, I want a relationship with you. I love you. I love you. My favorite. Love you. I love you. Gosh, I'm not gangster. So, this is what he did. You know what? I need this cross. This is what he did. He came down, sent his son, fully God, fully man. He came to live on this earth. And he lived 33 years as he worked in Robin. And he lived a perfect life. Can you imagine that? Not one sin. That's crazy. But if he did sin, then it wouldn't be an appropriate sacrifice. So he had to get it. And so he performed miracles. Healed the hurting, sick, gave sight to the blind. That's great stuff, and I'm so proud of that. But what is the act of love for us? Is this cross. You see, as Judas Iscariot betrayed him and sent him, he went through so much pain. You see, he knew of the pain to come when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he said, let there be another way. Let this cup pass from me. I want to tell you what this cup is. The cup, okay, I need you guys to be reflective. Think of all the sins you've committed today. Throw it in this cup. Think of all the sins you've ever committed. Throw it in this cup. Think of all the sins you're going to commit. Put it in this cup. Now look around and take everybody else's sin. And just put it in this cup. Let's take the 6 billion other people on this earth and put their sins in this cup. Let's take the people who lived before us all the way and who's going to live. Sin is wrath, right? God had a punishment. So he said, let this cup pass from me. And he went and he got scourged. He was flogged. And what it was is that they would take, only psychos would do this. Only psychos would scourge anybody because it would be a cat of nine tails. It would be full of lead and glass and metal, all kinds of stuff. And they would, one person would start from the head down this side. The other person would start from the heel up. He would be on his knees, and they would just rip at him. They would rip him away. It's called the half death because half the people died from it. And nobody walked away from it, okay? And that was the worst of it. He went through 6 mock trials. He was spat on. He was beaten. He's like, who hit you now? God. And he took it. And then he got nailed on the cross. And he was nailed where the pain flows the most. The Romans knew this. This is where the most pain was. And he went on this tree, on the cross. And in order to breathe, they'd have to go, they'd have to come up and then go back down. That's the only way they could breathe. And he would sit up there, and then he went, "It is finished." He came back down, and he died. And when he said it is finished, he drank down that cup, and he pulled it over, and not a drop came out. He died for every single one of you. He died and took the wrath of God so that you can be justly forgiven. Do you guys see what I'm saying? Again, what do we do with this gospel? What do we do? I understand it. Jesus died on the cross for me. For me, I'm wicked. And God is so loving. He sent his son. He didn't have to. He didn't have to at all, but he did. What do I do with this? You cling to it. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. Nothing in my hands I bring. I'm an absolute sinner. I am so messed up. I got nothing to offer to God. But simply to the cross I cling. It's the only way. It's the only way to God. You understand that. And I'm going to give you guys an invitation. A way to receive this gospel. But I'm going to do it in a way that some of you might have not heard before. See, a lot of people, and I myself, repeat it after somebody, right? Repeat a prayer after me, and I repeat it after my mother, and I believe I'm saved. But you know what saved you? Not the words that you repeated, but your heart. That was repenting. That your repentant heart and said, you know what? I am messed up. See, because I want to make sure this is true and genuine, because I have led a bunch of people to Christ. But to be honest with you, I haven't seen a lot of fruit from you. When you're saved, you're completely changed. And it will be completely evident in your life. You will be clinging to the cross. Everything revolves around the cross. You see, how many of you guys watch Sweet Life of Zach and Cody? Nobody made noise for that one. Not a hit in Texas, obviously. So, you guys are like, man, that was a great moment. You're talking about Sweet Life, Zach and Cody? Well, anyways, London reminds me a lot of my sister. Yeah, again, she just yelled. You know, it was like the dumbest thing that ever hit this planet. I love you. So, London's pretty stupid, but she likes this artistic, smart guy. And so Maddie's smart. Maddie knows Shakespeare, you know? You guys see that episode. I never watched this. I got all this information from Shay. I'm a man. I don't watch that stuff. I am a man. Okay, anyways. You know, I turn on ESPN and Hunting Outdoor Channel. All right, I watched it, okay? I lose my man card every time I preach, so it doesn't matter. So I was watching London likes his guy. So he goes, Maddie, I need help. I need help. Just give it to me. I need help. And that's what my sister does. And, sorry, okay. That was dad's humor. And so, he goes, okay. She goes, he's not at me. Maddie goes, okay, I'll have a speaker and you put this in your ear and I'll tell you what to say. I'll tell you what to say and he'll fall in love with you. So, London goes up, hello, you know. Oh, I like this painting. Well, yeah, I like it too. What do you like about the artist? You know, I think he has a yacht. You know how she is. And then she keeps messing it up. And then Maddie's like, I'm telling this. And so she repeats it. But the guy's like, it's so apparent that you aren't meaning what you're saying. And all of a sudden, he goes around because it's Disney. They find each other. And Maddie and Matt really like each other and all this stuff. Why do I tell you this story? Because I believe a lot of us repeat, not really having meaning behind it. I think so many people, if they really did believe that there would be a change. Because when you're in love, you know what to say. I mean, I feel like the Holy Spirit is powerful, and I trust in His provision. And I believe that if He's working on your heart right now, as I'm praying, that the glory of God is showing up in your life, you'll know what to say. You're going to be running. You're saying, I need you, God. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. So I want to remind you what the gospel is. The gospel is the good news. And it's that God created us. He loves us, but we're separated because we sinned. We messed up. But He sent His Son to die on this cross. And it's not the cross. It's not how bad He got hurt by humans. Because the wrath of God poured down and said, I'm going to punish you because of everybody else. He took it and goes, hey God, I want these people to be forgiven, so I will take it. You see, the gospel is offensive. When you share it, God has wrath. That's the good thing. God of love. See, it will be offensive, but the power won't shine through unless you tell the full story. And you know what's so great about this Jesus? 3 days later, he rose again. He's still living today. He lives in each and every one of us who believe and repent and believe the good news. See, some of you say, I've done that. I have repeated a prayer and I know I'm saved, Trey. Well, maybe, but let me ask you this. Is God in your morning? Is he in your afternoon? Is he in your evening? Is he in your heart? Is God right before your eyes? Is he directing you, leading you, guiding you? See, is he not convicting you when you do wrong? Is he disciplining you? If not, then you are not born again. I'm sorry, but you have a chance to be. You have a chance to be. You see, because when you turn your life to Christ, it's more than just a Facebook status. It's more than just religious views. It's more than that. It's so much more than that. It becomes your life. Is the Word of God a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path? As the Word of God, do you tremble before the Word? Did you repent? You see, you know what repentance means? Is when you start to love the things that God loves and hate the things that God hates. You repent and say, you know what, God, I agree with you. What I'm doing is terrible. I love you. I'm going to love everything that you love. And I might, every once in a while, I might be like, oh, this looks better. But right when you do it, God disciplines you. God convicts you. And you say, I'm so sorry, God, that I did that. And you turn right back to the cross. Your gaze is on the cross. You see, repent and believe the good news. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. See, for me, in my life, in my testimony, if anybody tells me to break off from him, I'd rather die first. I would rather die than disown the name of God, than to let go of this cross. I would rather die. And that's the heart that God wants you to have. And if you just give up and say, oh God, I'm in, you will do a work in me. You continue to do a work in me until the day you die. But you know what's great? When you die, you go to heaven. And you have eternal life. See, when you had a conversion experience, was there a reality of the Holy Spirit? Did you know that you had sin? Did you know that you had judgment that was paid for by Jesus? Are you trembling at God's word? Or was it just an oral agreement with God? The gospel, cling to it. Now I'm going to ask you guys to come to the living room. It's in these doors. And I heard a lot of people say, I wanted to make a decision. I wanted to go up there, but I hated just standing up here and have everybody look at me. We're taking care of that because I care for your soul. I don't want you to go to hell.
And I'm not saying that he'll talk to you and say that I'm actively looking. If you have decided to make a decision, you come up and you go through these doors, I'll be there waiting for you. I'm praying for you guys to come. As music plays, and there's going to be music, there's going to be worship from here on out. And I'm going to be in there, so nobody's in there. I'm going to stay in there even after service. And if it's until 7:45, and if nobody came in, then I'll walk out. But if somebody comes in at 7:44, and they need to talk, and they need to work out things, I will say, I hear your souls. God hears for you. But why are you guys? It is way too easy to just repent to the Lord.